I'll be reading from Malachi, chapter 1, verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. And if then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name, and he ye say, wherein have we despised thy name?
Worship is a celebration of our relationship with God through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. For the Jews, worship was a part of their covenant between them and God. And there were three times when at least the adult males were called to Jerusalem to worship God. They were the Feast of the Passover, Pentecost, known also as the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles, or Booths. And because these were harvest times, we find the food offerings connected with each of them. These were times of joy and celebration for what God had done and will do to sustain Israel. So when they came to worship in Jerusalem, they were to bring with them animals from their flocks, the wheat and the fruit from their fields, and whatever gifts they wanted to give God. But this morning I want to start with the obvious fact. God does not need food to survive. We need food, but God does not. We all have certain preferences of food. And right now, the smells coming through the door is telling us we've got some serious preferences. But God doesn't choose a lamb or grain offerings because God wants a good dinner. What God is asking for from the people were their first and their best. But what if we didn't give that? Let's be honest. If God doesn't need it, why does God care about the offerings that we give? Shouldn't God be happy with anything that we give? Let's look again at Malachi 1 and verse 6 of what Ray read this morning. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I be then a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say therein, wherein have we despised your name? God is both Father and Master. And as such, we should give him the honor and the fear that is due him. For isn't he that we claim he is, our Father and our Master? I guess everyone here today sees God as both our Father and our Lord. And that being the case, the question God asked us, as well as the statement to them, is, if I am who you say I am, then where is the honor? Then we look at the last phrase of that verse. Who despise my name? What we have in this word despise is disrespect or dishonor. And the priest's response to that was, how? They are claiming complete innocence in dishonoring God, and they want to know why God feels dishonored. So let us go to Malachi 1 in verses 7 and 8, and then also, after I read that, I'll read verses 12 and 13. For God said through Malachi, you offered polluted bread upon my altar, and you say therein, where have we polluted you? In that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame or the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with you or accept your person, says the Lord of hosts. Now verses 12 and 13. But you have profaned it in that you say the table of the Lord is polluted, the fruit and the fruit thereof, even as meat is contemptible. You said also, behold, what a weariness it is. And you have snuffed at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn and the lame and the sick, and thus you brought it to an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, says the Lord? I put these four verses together because of what is happening when they came to the altar of God and to the table of bread that was used in the temple. The point here is that the priest offered on behalf of the people the junk that no one wants. In this, they showed contempt, and in doing so, treated the worship of God flippantly or lightly. Now I'll come back to the statement I made earlier that God doesn't eat bread. If this food was just going to be burned, then does it really matter if the offering was a lame lamb or a perfect lamb? The answer is yes, it does matter. We like to think those in political leadership deserve honor because of the position they hold. And by the way, God is not arguing that point. What God is saying is that these same people would not offer their political leaders with disgusting food and think that they would be kind to them. But why would we think that God is going to accept this contemptuous sacrifice? You see, Israel didn't get it. And nothing has changed over the centuries. They are saying, God should be happy with what I give, and we say the same thing today. We have a tendency to place glory on the giver, not the one to whom the gift was given. And what we have today and what they had then was a heart issue. The priests were doing the right thing in offering the sacrifices. The priests were offering the prayers and the blessings that would go along with the sacrifices. But if we were to go back to the law for just a moment, we would be reminded that they were to bring the first and the best to God's table. It was a gift to God, a gift of thanksgiving for what God had and will provide. It was to show their love and devotion to God by such a gift. Well, let me put it this way. Ladies, it's your birthday, and your husband gives you a present of a mop and a new bucket. It's going through your mind. Now, let's all admit, that could be a very practical gift, especially if he looked in the closet and seen your old mop in a leaky bucket. But how would you feel? Now, guys, look, I'm not saying go out there and buy diamonds and gold and all that stuff and shower, but let's think for a moment. How do you think she would feel? The animal sacrifices that they were supposed to do was also seeking an atonement for their own sins. And yet they were bringing lame and blind animals for that. And since it was to be offered to a pure and perfect God, wouldn't it stand to reason that the sacrifice must also be pure and perfect? How much is the death of Jesus on the cross and the removal of your sins worth to you? How much is his resurrection and the ability to live forever with God in heaven worth to you? Well, the reason why the Old Testament doesn't ask us to tithe, doesn't ask us for the sacrifice offerings, because it's too small a gift. Everything we have belongs to the Lord. And it should be able to be used as God sees fit. What we put in the collection plate should simply be one gift of thanksgiving. But our life, our worship, our heart is all part of that gift. We don't offer God the leftover parts of us, do we? You need to think about that one. Because Romans 12 and verse 1 tells us that we are offered a sacrifice ourselves as a sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to Him. But do we? You want to hear about the heartless worship and God's anger about it? Look at Malachi 1 and verse 10. Who is there, even among you, that would shut the doors for nothing? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for nothing. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Worship is far more than just a couple of hours on the first day of the week. Worship is our coming before God every moment of every day. Should this time that we have today, this collective time, be seen as holy? Should it show God our heart in prayer, in our communion with Him, and the thankfulness that we shared around the table? When we observed the Lord's Supper, what was going through your mind those 10 minutes or so? Was it the reason for the elements? Were you thinking about what was coming when you left here? We should show God our heart in the songs that we sing. We should show God our heart in the act of our collective giving and our sharing. Think for a moment. How many church doors does God want to shut? I read of 7 churches in the book of Revelation, and 5 churches stood in jeopardy of God closing the door of relationship. They were going through the motions. You can just read the first 2 chapters of the Revelation. The churches were doing everything just as the priests were doing everything that Malachi brings up. They were going through the motions. Not a single one of those 7 churches exists today. Let's look at verse 11 and verse 14 of Malachi chapter 1. For from the rising sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, says the Lord of hosts. Now verse 14. But cursed is be the deceiver, which has his flock a male, and vows, and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. The nation of Israel, God's chosen people. And right now, God is saying that he is more honored among the heathen than he is for his own chosen people. That's sad. We belong. We have been added to the church that Christ built, the church that we read of in the Bible. But do those out there show more reverence to God than we do? Yes, we're here. But did not the priest offer sacrifices? Where is our hearts at today? Where is our heart at every single day? There's a point that I want us to leave here with this morning. God's name among the nations is viewed in part by how people who claim God worship God. And if we say we love God, but our lives show that we don't live in accordance to His will, how can we be the light of the world? If our worship is more about self-glory than God's glory, what would the unbeliever think if they came and worshiped with us? What if during the Lord's Supper we had folks who were visiting a Church of Christ for the very first time? And during this solemn memorial feast, they listened to our conversation with one another. They hear us and see us writing a check for the collection, or talking amongst ourselves. What would they think? What would they think? What if they see us carrying on a conversation when everyone should be singing? What would they think? God's name is to be honored. So let's honor it always with our worship to Him. And let it be the first and the best, not the last and not the least. If there's anyone here this morning who has not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in that Jesus has called for man to repent, but He has also based His salvation on that great confession that Peter made in Matthew 16, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. For if we were to prove that that confession is totally false, Christianity disappears the snap of a finger. But then Jesus also required that we are to be baptized for the remission of sins. It is that water, while not special in and of itself, but that act that washes away our sins and allows us to be perfect. If it wasn't a necessary thing, Ananias would not have told Paul in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. To be baptized, to wash away your sins. So this morning, you need to think on these things and make that decision. We never see tomorrow. We talk of tomorrow, but we never see it. But wouldn't it be sad if the present that would be tomorrow does not come for us and we will be lost eternally? And maybe you are a child of God, and maybe you realize that you have not been giving the best and the first fruits to God, but you've been giving them to yourselves. And you need to repent of those things and maybe have that relationship restored once again between you and God. If there's anyone that has a need, the invitation this morning, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.